This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 5, Episode 38, Adapting Your Line and Length. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, it's one for the bowlers this week. We talk about line and length in different situations, how much you can measure it and how much you can rely on old vague standards. We're talking about how you can adjust your line and length if your natural length isn't what you want it to be. And we also help a leg spin bowler get a little bit more of a bowl. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome again to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is your guide to coaching or playing better cricket, or maybe even a bit of both if you're in that transition, a little bit like I am at the moment. My name is David Hinchliffe. I look after things here. And joining me along for the ride, as they always do, first of all, it's the director of cricket coaching at Millfield School, although he's not there at the moment. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garraz. Where are you?
I'm at St. George's Park, which is the English FA's headquarters. For their development, and we're here for a two-day coach education elite coaches seminar with all sorts of wonderful people talking to us over the next couple of days. So I'm very much looking forward to listening to them, and then some of them have got the pain of having to listen to me for an hour and a quarter to talk about something as well.
That's coaches from all different disciplines then.
It is, yeah. We've got Andy Flower with us. We've got Peter Moores with us. Kevin Shine's doing a variety of different things. Tomorrow, we've got Stuart Lancaster, the England rugby coach, with us. We've got Simon Weston, the Falklands hero. He's also going to be with us to talk to us, as well as various others from all sorts of different fields. And unfortunately for some, they've got to listen to me for an hour and a bit as well. So they get the good and they get the bad, unfortunately.
Well, you'll certainly be bringing them with ideas by the end of it, though, won't you, Garraz? There'll be a lot to take in, and you'll be hopefully we can get a couple of ideas from you in the next show.
Well, that, and I don't think I'm going to struggle for themes for my article every week for the next few anyway.
Marvellous.
I think that the last 6 weeks of planning Millfield's winter might change here, Garraz.
they'll evaporate, won't they?
That voice you hear is the other presenter on this show. It's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Lavers, you've got your eye on the football.
I have, yeah. We're currently 1-1, so I'm half on that and obviously half on our conversation.
Well, if I hear cheering, then we know something's happened at least. But by the time anyone listens to this show, they're already going to know what the final scoreline was. So we're going to update live, and then it'd be absolutely worth it straight away. But never mind. So let's talk about cricket instead. That might be a better way to start the show. And I wanted to talk a little bit about line and length. Specifically, there's kind of two ways to look at line and length. There's the way that has always been, which is to say, well, you find that area on the pitch where the batsman is not sure whether to go forward or back, and that's going to be your good line and length. And that can vary between bowlers, it can vary between pitches, it can vary on all kinds of different things. But yet cricket is becoming a lot more measurable, and it's a lot easier now to say a good line and length is X distance from the stumps. So is this the right way, Garraz, that we're going towards a more measurable way of getting line and length, or is there some value to the old way of saying, well, it's just all about putting the doubt in the batsman's mind?
I think it's a great question, but one ultimately where that measurement that we get, which is length, you know, it is at this far away from the middle stump at the batter's end, is merely a guide for us, really. And I think one of the best things that happens is when people work it out for themselves. It's a bit like having a plan when you go into battle, and the people that I've knocked around with in the last couple of years that have had vast experience of that always say that the plan, take them into battle, and then you adapt to the conditions around you. And ultimately, the best fighting forces are the ones that do that. And it's exactly the same with length. We know that length is, you know, approximately 5.5 to 7.5 meters away from the middle stump. But ultimately, we make decisions based on the pitch, the conditions, and sometimes even the batter. And one example of that is the way that Australia bowled at Joe Root last winter, where they went short at him, but when they did go fuller, they almost took that 5.5 meters or 7.5 meters out of the equation and actually pitched the ball up a lot fuller because he was struggling to come forward. So his length was fuller than the conventional one that people have been plugging away at for ages. Now, to me, that's good bowling, it's good cricket, it's good tactics to be able to go off of the sort of staple diet of this is where length is, and adjust accordingly. But the great thing about having that staple diet is at least we've got a starting point from which to work from.
What do you say, Lavers? Do you think do you think there's merit in the more qualitative assessment of saying, find that area for yourself?
Yeah, I think given the number of variables we've got, which could be which are the pitch, the batsman, the bowler concerned, and other circumstances that could be altering the outcome of the ball, such as the ball itself, I think there's got to be an element of thinking on your feet and using your experience and mental skills to assess conditions as on an ongoing basis, rather than just being rigid and sticking to what you think works or what has worked in the past. I think every time you turn up on bowl, it's going to be different. Every batter's going to be different. Every pitch will be different. So that's where that ability to react and assess the circumstances you're in is absolutely vital. And if you look at successful people, they're very good at doing it.
We get plenty of comments through Pitch Vision Academy, through the Facebook page, through Twitter, about this kind of thing. And one of the things that surprises me, I know because of the internet, it makes it a bit more critical of things. But one of the things that surprises me is how critical people can get of the statistical side of the game, and how maybe, I don't know, maybe people are thinking it's making it too complicated or taking away some of the magic of the sport if it can all be boiled down to just pure numbers. I'm not sure what the reason behind it is, but people can get very, very critical of the statistical side of the game, and they come up with things like, say, well, all you need to do is find the length that the batsman is not sure whether to play forward or back, and any of the other stats, rubbish is nonsense. And, you know, people get very aggressive towards statistical analysis. Do you think that's just an internet thing, Gareth, or do you think there is that kind of negative view of stats because it takes something away from the game?
Well, I think it's an element of that, David, but I also think that we're just very new to it. And you look at baseball or basketball or ice hockey, they're very used to measuring stats. They've been doing it for years, even before technology kicked. They're versed in all sorts of rebounds and various other things that come into play. We're just not used to that yet in cricket as punters, and that will only develop over time.
All right, let's wrap this section up with the yes, no round three questions. It can only be answered yes or no to, no matter how much more that you want to say. And by the way, these questions aren't just open to the team. If you want to send in your feedback on any of the questions, you can send in as much feedback as you want, then please feel free to do so. So, I'll be asking the questions this week. And the first question is, more is better?
Yes.
No. No.
Second question, personality is the biggest indicator of chance of success?
No.
No.
Third question, everyone's a coach?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's a casual yep at the end. I enjoyed that. Time now for the questions section on the show. And this is quite straightforward. We dig into the mailbag. We pick out a couple of questions. And we choose the best one of the week at the end once we've answered them, and that wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. You can send your questions into us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. So the first question is from our old friend Wolf. And Wolf says, on radio commentary in the fifth match of the recent ODI tri-series in Zimbabwe between South Africa and Australia, former South African fast bowler Mackay Ntini said this of quick bowlers: cricket is not about you bowling your natural length. You need to learn from different surfaces. He described his own reliance on a trusted pair of eyes, say at gully or point, to closely watch the pitch of the ball and help inform that process. Would you agree that fast bowlers, even at the highest level, often seem to have difficulty adjusting their length? Commentators at international matches frequently remark upon persistent spells of short pitch bowling, and I wonder how you train, coach, and regulate your quick bowlers. So natural length, does it exist and can it be overcome?
I think it does exist. And somebody who had a very natural back of a length, I suppose, was Andrew Caddick. And he evolved that towards the end of his career. His pace slightly went. So with a little bit of persuasion, managed to pitch the ball up a little bit and actually went from 900 to 1,000 first-class wickets very quickly as a result through that adaptation. There is a natural length, but it can be adapted and it has to, as we talked about in the previous question, really, in the first part of the show, you have to do that to become a real great. The other bit of this, I would say, is that commentators have to comment on something when they're commentating. and often they fill the airwaves because they have to. So that's another thing that I will just put in as a bit of a caveat, really. But most importantly, how do you train, coach, and regulate your quick bowlers? Well, I think just as Wolf has said that Nintini talked about, he uses people around the pitch. Somebody at point or at gully is a good barometer and a good benchmark, but also wicketkeepers are really good. And I'm quite keen on having other opening bowlers and fast bowlers operating at mid-off and mid-on, because they can be ball shiners looking after the ball, but also picking up that vital bits of information off of the bowler and giving that bowler information as they work as a partnership.
And I guess part of that process, Lavers, is to make sure that the bowler can listen to that feedback and understand that that feedback is coming from somewhere that's trying to be helpful, because I'm sure we've all seen the past bowler who won't listen to any advice purely as a matter of principle.
Yeah, and I wonder if most fast bowlers would generally prefer to have feedback from one of their co-bowlers, as it were. I mean, as a quick bowler, is it nicer to have feedback, or is it more reassuring to have feedback from someone who's in the same boat as you at that exact time, rather than a batter who nicked off early in the day is now stood at first slip telling you you're not bowling the right area? So that's a good it's a good thing to think about, is trying to use the bowlers as much as you can, or even if it's a case of the bowler being the one who relays the information in the end, despite whoever it might be, the batsman and the slipper and the keeper, whoever, who have a chat with a bowler who's at mid-off or mid-on. But the one who relays the message is either the captain or the bowler, whoever suits that individual best. And again, it's adapting as a team what suits that person the best. What can we do to make that person as confident in the information he's getting as possible and as likely to use the information he's getting as possible?
What do you think about this idea of natural length, Lavers? Do you see that? And if there is a natural length, is there anything you can do about it if that natural length isn't really working?
Well, I think that's where you've got to use your different conditions, or create different conditions in training, so that bowlers invariably do have a natural length. A lot of people like to stick to a particular length consistently, and it's what suits their action and their body type, and it's what feels the easiest way to bowl for them. But the more you can stress that under different conditions in training, by playing on pitches that maybe bounce more or bounce less or are faster or slower, the more they're going to practice those different lengths and practice hitting different lengths over and over again. And when it comes to a game situation, they do have to pitch the ball up, or they do have to hit the deck a little bit more, then it's maybe less of an awkward moment than having a situation where they've never done it before at all. So I'd definitely say that people do like to have a natural length, or do have a natural length they like to stick to, but you need to try and develop that, and you need to be able to adapt, as we've spoke about all the way through here, really.
Next question is from Ryan. And Ryan says, I've started playing rep cricket this year, so well done, Ryan. I bowled my leggies, and I feel that I'm bowling really well. In the first game, I picked up a few wickets and had a good economy rate. The problem is that there are a few other spinners in the team who have been playing in the team a lot longer than I have, and the captain knows them better than he knows me. And so they're getting a lot more of a bowl than I am. I don't want to sound cocky, but I feel that I'm a better bowler than the other spinners, but I don't get the chance to show how well I bowl. What do you suggest I do?
It's going to be a communication process, really, and trying to explain the role you want to play, and maybe the captain feeding back, and he will have his own opinions on you as well. Obviously, you know how well you bowl, but being a new person to a side, you might not be aware of what the other guys in the side have done in the past as well. So the captain has got to absorb a lot of information, and he's looking at two or three different spinners by the sound of it. So it's a very difficult process to go through. And yes, you might be bowling very well and very confident in your ability, but also be aware that these guys have established themselves for a reason, probably because they've probably done quite well over the years as well. So it's about finding a role for yourself and finding a role for the other guys, really. And as a group, you might find that other spinners like to bowl at certain times or bowl better in better conditions. And if you can have an honest discussion as a group about who fits what conditions or what scenarios best, then maybe you can find a role for you at a certain time and a role for the others at a certain time that works. But it's going to be an open conversation, probably with the captain first of all, but no doubt that could follow up and bring in the other spinners in the group.
Yeah, it can be frustrating if you're not really getting on as quickly as you think you should be. It's about couching it in the right terms, isn't it, I guess?
My suggestion to you, Ryan, is to make sure that you're always bowling at your captain when he goes in the nets, because that's the best way of communicating with him.
That must be the shortest answer you've ever done. Brilliant. Okay.
Okay, so now it's time for the soapbox. So this week it's David's opportunity to fill us with some insightful comments or have a rant about what's been getting his week.
One of the things that I think about quite a lot, especially at club level, is team culture. Specifically that if your team has a culture, then you should care about what that culture is. And every team has a culture. You don't have to be a professional side. You don't have to have lots of rules and mission statements and go on bonding sessions. Even if you play a friendly Sunday afternoon cricket, there's going to be some kind of a culture around that. And if you're interested in winning your games, then it's really important to have as strong a team culture as you can get. So you can build that culture up. You can act in the way that you want the culture to be. And over time, it will become that. But sometimes it's difficult to do, especially when it's hard to define when you're talking about outside of the professional game, when you can't sit down all together in a meeting room and decide what that culture is going to be. But always know that that culture is going to exist. And if that culture exists, you can define it. And if you can define it, you can win more games of cricket. All right, and that is just about all we've got time for on this week's Pitch Vision Academy cricket show. Due to some technical difficulties in that the Wi-Fi where Gareth is staying is seems to be particularly awful at the moment, which is probably why the last question he answered was so short. We've had to say goodbye to Gareth. So Lavers is stepping into the chair this week for some very important work. And that work, of course, is to choose the winner of this week's coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And we had Wolf's question about natural line and length and Ryan's question about how he gets more of a bowl. So Lavers, which one did you prefer this week?
Well, we've got two old heads in the Pitch Vision questions team coming there with Ryan and Wolf, who've both been involved a lot. But
true.
My thoughts are, I really like the question from Ryan. He's obviously made some significant progressions in recent times. He's made the rep side, so that's commendable. And a lot of people would be happy to do that and possibly stand still. But Ryan's not happy with that. He wants to take a leading role in that side, and he wants to really try and push himself on and make an impact on it. And because of that, he's asked a really good question about how he can do so. I think that's a great way to respond to your selection, is that it's not you're going to stand still. You're going to really kick on and take control of your role in the side and do as much as you can. So Ryan, well done. Go and find yourself a course either on leg spin or potentially on communication and discussion with the captain, which I'm sure we've got lots of opportunity on out there.
Yeah, we haven't actually got a specific one on communication, and it comes up all the time. So maybe we should look into a course that deals with communicating players to coaches as well as coaches to players, because it's often talked about one way but not the other. Anyway, well done, Ryan. Now, if anybody else wanted to send in their question labors and they were listening to this show and they were poised over their email or over their telephone, what would they need to do to get in touch with us?
Well, it's very easy by phone. You can ring us on 0203-239-7543, or you can get us at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. You can also find us on social media. Our Twitter is at pitchvisionacad, and our Facebook is facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. Lovely little group that goes on there, and it's lots of fun. If you want to subscribe to this show, you can do so. It comes out every week on a Friday, and you can listen away to just about any podcatching program that you can get your hands on these days. Apple Podcast, or Catcher, Overcast, Downcast, Pocket Casts, anything you like. But if you want to use the RSS feed instead, you can also do that. You can head over to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link, and you'll find all the details for how to subscribe in there. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Lavers.
Thanks, David.
Head over to pitchvision.com. Be quiet. You can head over to pitchvision.com/pitchvisionacademy. Oh, I'll do that again. You can head over to pitchvision.com/podcasts. No, I've lost track. I've got 7-year-old standing next to me distracting me. Okay.